Pirate's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. To learn my way back around the Fairhope Bureau studio today and hit the wrong button there. I'm back. No fill-in host here for a little while, hopefully. In the meantime, it's Friday. It's finally Friday. Thank you for being with us. Text line 251-343-0106 as I get in touch with the program. Big shout-out. Thanks to April Marie Fogle, Bradley J., Erica Thomas, who got high marks from y'all, Scott Buttram and Rebecca Watson for filling in while I was away. We can talk about that in a minute. The excursion, and then somehow stayed on schedule the entire time, the entirety of the exercise. 10 stadiums, 11 Major League Baseball games, and two countries. In a bunch of states. I need to count them. Anyway, 251-343-0106. Todd Stacy, I think, is coming up. BCA is this weekend. And everyone's kind of in transit to Point Clear. We'll see if I hear from some of my friends. They tend to avoid me when they're down this way. But we'll see. Jerry Carl coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. You want to stick around for that. And I was thinking about this. And Jerry Carl, when he was congressman, took a lot of heat for, like, kind of questioning what was going on with Anthony Fauci at the time of COVID. Not that we have a necessarily any hard and fast proof here, but has the possibility here that there's something wrong. Will we ever really know what happened there? But that's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, and we'll talk to Congressman Carl about that. I mean, interested to see if that checks the box, because he was, trying to, what did he say, that there had to be potentially a financial incentive or something behind some of the medical advice he was giving? And finally, our returning champion is back with us, and this just kind of crept up on me yesterday. The possibility that the city of Fairhope would break away from Baldwin County, form its own school system. I think it's totally going to happen. I think you could see Daphne next. Who knows? The problem is a school system like that, it's just too, the Baldwin County school system is too big for what it is. This isn't like a Jefferson County or Mobile County even. And the other thing about it, I kind of watched this happen in Shelby County, where I went to, where I did my high school years, and it broke apart just like this. It seems to be a trend. Now, I'm not crazy about the possibility of higher taxes. We need to spend some time on that. But the trade-off is potentially higher property values, better schools. The con is higher taxes. And I got a bunch of questions, and maybe we could get someone to talk about the specifics in the coming days. But Senator Elliott's going to talk about that just from a 10,000-foot perspective. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, that's what you got to do. You got to hit me up on the text line. So, yes, I was away for, 2 weeks now. We left on that Friday 2 weeks ago. It doesn't even seem that long ago. It seems like I was just standing here, but, we stayed busy. We went to Canada. We made it into Toronto, and apparently, To go into Toronto and come back into the United States, it is preferred you have a passport. And maybe I missed a memo. But I got a lecture about that. So 16 states and one province. And gas prices were generally high everywhere as the Iran saga continues on. Let's see. So oil is $77 a barrel. That's in a good place. I guess no news is good news. We went to 10 ballparks, starting with St. Louis. They're all varying cultures and varying aesthetics. The people, I would say the nicest people. So it helps when you have a five-year-old with you because everybody wants to make sure he has the best experience possible. And we got a lot of, like, souvenir baseballs. Some from players. Get some autographs. Let's see. We went to, out of 10 ballparks, we got 6 baseballs. The ones that failed us, let's see. We didn't get one in Minneapolis. We did get one in Wrigley. Detroit and Pittsburgh. Everywhere else, Benjamin, my 5-year-old, got a baseball. That was either a batting practice ball or a foul ball. Or at the Atlanta game, the very last game we went to, he got a ball that was put into play by Drake Baldwin. It would score 2 runs, which is really cool. So it was a lot of road time there, and it's just kind of big picture time to drive around the country. A lot of toll roads, man. I guess there's a bridge in Chicago called the Chicago Skyway, $8.10. And we had to cross it 4 times. So we made one trip through Chicago, stopped and hit the White Sox. And the White Sox and Cubs never play at the same time. So the way we had to do it was we had to kind of engineer a route to go back through Chicago. So we did 2 days in Chicago, but we did a pass through, and there's this bridge. It's on the interstate. It's part of the interstate system, I-90. And there's alternate routes, but it was by the Apple Maps, Waze, and Google Maps was suggested you go this way to save like an hour. But $8.10 a toll to go from Chicago into Indiana. I can't imagine. $16 a day. And it was nothing really fancy. It looked like an old bridge. Some of you may be familiar with it. Oh, and our friend Gary, was a regular on the text line, I give him a shout out for thanks with getting us tickets to the Minnesota Twins game. The Twins game, the seats are great. It was a good ballpark. Sitting next to me, however, was this one lady, and she was wearing a Brown University t-shirt and a Tufts University ball cap. Down to Georgia. Yeah. And she wanted to complain about everybody. She didn't complain about us. But there was something very Karen-esque about that experience. But you know what? I tell you, we got to go to Cooperstown, which is really cool. It's let me tell you what it is. The Hall of Fame is what you see on TV, and it's got the plaques, and it's got all the memorabilia. And one of the cool things they had were some bricks from Hank Aaron's childhood home. From Mobile, it's the Alabama connection there. But outside of the hall, it's like the Gallenberg of baseball. There was like 20 baseball card store. Well, that probably had maybe 5 or 6 baseball card stores. And they got all the jersey stores and everything you could imagine with that. Yeah, so if you're kind of into it like we are, I reckon it's not a game. They do have a stadium there. I think they play 1 or 2 games a year. But it's worth seeing. The other cool non-game thing we got to see was we went to the Louisville Bat Factory where they make baseball bats. Now, that's not the main used brand anymore. It's like Old Hickory, Invictus, and some others, Rawlings. But where the way they make them, and you get to see them make them, and then they'll make a personalized bat for you at the end of your tour. So we saw some good teams. You got to see Mizorowski pitch. He plays for the Milwaukee Brewers. He throws in excess of 100 miles per hour for like five innings straight in Milwaukee. Got to go to Wrigley Field twice. We know all the songs now. Hey, hey, Chicago, what do you say? But the folks were very, very nice at all these places. And like I said, they wanted to make sure that my five-year-old had the best experience possible. But a lot of road time. When we left Friday morning, so the last show was last Thursday, or two Thursdays ago. And we left that Friday morning. We pulled into St. Louis. And it's kind of sad, St. Louis. I don't know if our friend John Sharp is listening, and he's a big Cardinals fan. Just the attendance is way down there. It's not in a bad part of town or anything. So I don't get it. The product, teams come and go. Anyway, it was a good destination, multiple destination trip before school starts. And we're in that in-between summer camp and the beginning of school period. A lot of places have started school. But a lot of people on the road, too. So happy to, we won't prolong what I did on my summer vacation aspect of the program today. But I figured 2 weeks away, and, like I said, thanks to all of our guest host for filling in. But we're back, and we're getting caught up on the news, or I'm getting caught up on the news, I should say. And we'll do some, talk about the Fairhope City schools breaking away. I think it's going to be a trend. The Fauci stuff is very, very intriguing. I don't know what they could do to him. Now, there's some discussion about as to whether or not he can avoid questions from Congress. If you take the Fifth Amendment, well, does he still have his Fifth Amendment right if there's something there? But there's something definitely there if he's dodging questions. And he was hailed as this guy, infallible. They conflated Fauci with science. You don't question the science. And this is something Rand Paul's wanted for 6 years now, to grill this guy. The less pushing back on it in its own ways. From what I can tell. But I don't think it's going to be to much avail. 251-343-0106 is the text line. We'll pick it up on the other side. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Because Curtis Lowe was the finest picker to ever play the blues. I saw the light, I saw the light, no more dark. No more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. The Real Sam asks, "Hey, Jet, did you wear your lighting gear to all of these games or other ballparks, or did y'all go in neutral colors?" So the rule was, unless they were playing the Braves, and none of these games except for the Atlanta game featured the Braves, we cheer for the home team. Now, I wore neutral at all the parks. But my five-year-old, he wore a shirt from the team. It just kind of helped him get into the spirit of the ballpark and the team and cheer for the team. So I think it, every one of them, except for maybe two, he wore something that was affiliated with the team. We just want to, you know, a couple of these trips, let me just explain to you what we had to do to make it work. There would be like a Saturday night game. And then the next town we had to be in. So the first, and it was tight getting from from Minnesota to Milwaukee, night game, then a day game, and have to get up early and make sure you're there in time for like a noon or 1 o'clock first pitch. So we had to do that with Milwaukee. Well, they were giving free t-shirts away, so we got lucky there. But the other ones, we had to do like a Detroit night game and a Pittsburgh day game back-to-back. And a Toronto night game and a Cleveland day. No, let's see. What was it? It was Cleveland night game, Cubs day game on a Sunday against the Yankees. Well, we did two Cubs games. We did a Sunday game. They were playing the Yankees. And then that next Monday night, right after the trade deadline, we got to see the Cubs and the Dodgers play. I figured Wrigley was worth two, and it turned out that was my five-year-old's favorite ballpark. We did behind home plate for the Sunday game, and then I was always told not to do this, but we've done Talladega and the infield, and how bad could it be? We did the bleachers in the outfield. Let's see here. Fire Dog. Front schools are going independent. Get your kids out now. The trans TIFA will be coming your way, your kids' way the day this happens. I don't know. Do we think Fairhope City Schools will go ideologically left if the city of Fairhope is administering them? That's a good question. I don't know. And then Fire Dog also writes, the Washington Bridge from Jersey to New York is $23 each way. Remind me never to use that. Next year, I think we are going to try to do some northeast. A little easier, a little more compact, less driving, except for that first day. Matthew, Jeff, I sure wish the city of Mobile would break away from the MCPSS, Mobile County Public School System. The students in the city of Mobile deserve better. I knew it was just a matter of time before Dante Spanish or Fairhope broke away and formed their own system. Once one breaks away, the other two will break away as well. I don't know about Spanish Ford. I've asked that question. But I think it's possible. Scrovering, I went to Montreal 22 years ago and got a passport before going to the Pensacola Airport. I just thought to take my birth certificate. At the counter, I was asked for a passport and birth certificate. I went to, last time I went to Canada, it probably was about 20 years ago. My father and I, my late father, we went to the Michigan NASCAR race and for whatever reason decided to go to Windsor, Ontario. And it was no big deal. Tim, damn, I was just starting to enjoy the show. Guess I'm not getting your vote for the nappies next year. Keith, Jeff, you're not only the best at what you do professionally, but you are an amazing father. You're giving your son memories that will keep forever. So proud of you for being awesome and sharing your adventures with all of us. Well, they will continue, I hope, in the future until they're tired of it. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Every gambler knows that the secret
is it's midnight in Montgomery. Just
to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Apparently, no Todd Stacy today. Like I said, he's en route, and I didn't do a greatest job of telling him I was going to be back. So maybe he, maybe we should have worked on that a little bit more. But we'll pick it back up with Todd next week. In the meantime, more of me 251-343-0106. Still to come about an hour from now. We'll hear from Jerry Carl running in the 1st Congressional District. By the way, we got an election coming up here next week on Tuesday. I guess the question would be how many of you are going to exercise your civic duty. This will be a low turnout event. I'm really kind of interested in AL2. That one's getting kind of nasty, but I still feel like Rep. Marcus, he has the Trump endorsement. But you got some guys that are kind of really, really punching up. Hampton Harris, Dave Matthews. So if you have to keep it up, what happened there? And this is, we're having a special election on August 11th in the Republican and Democratic primaries, AL 1, 2, 6, and 7. And one's, I guess, kind of competitive. Two main candidates there, Jerry Carl and Austin Sidwell. But the 2nd Congressional District, they're really pounding the pavement out there. And that's the one, maybe we, there's no runoff. So whoever gets the plurality is the nominee. There's just not time for a runoff. So they're having to do this hurry up offense. And it's a flash campaign, but it's not in reality. You had for months for almost a year. AL1 stretched from Dothan all the way to Grand Bay. And you had some candidates and they were, you know, running against Barry Moore had decided to successfully, what it appears, to run for United States Senate as a Republican nominee now. And that opened up that seat. Jerry Carl, who Barry Moore beat 2 years ago, appeared to be the front runner there. And then they had the vote on May 19th, but it didn't count. They had to have a do-over. So that's the way that shook out. So we get to vote again on August 11th. I believe right now, joining us on the line from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal, we have Todd Stacy. Todd, good morning. How are you? Let's see. Can we get him now? Do we have you now? I'm not getting anything here. All right. Try it now.
Jeff?
There he is.
Hey.
Hey, sorry. A little rusty here. I've been out for 2 weeks, so pressing the wrong buttons has become a thing of mine. Hey, Todd, how you doing?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well. Hey, I saw that Claire did the newsletter, but I guess BCA's this weekend. And the question I have is, what are we expecting out of this?
I mean, it's, you know, the state's biggest gathering, you know, for, elected officials, lobbyists, cabinet business leaders, all that.
Yeah, everybody's so going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something to look forward to. The one thing I'm not sure about is the state's two senators, because, you know, the Senate's still kind of going, and I'm not sure if they're going to let out in time for both Senator Tommy Tuberville and Senator Katie Britt to come down. But there's supposed to be a federal panel on, you know, federal issues. There's supposed to be a panel on regulatory issues. Actually, Paul Feinbaum is going to be there, and he's going to be talking about the next steps in recruiting businesses, not football recruiting, but you can see the connection there. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be taping Capital Journal on location from the Grand. So that's always been a cool feature. So we're looking forward to doing that.
Talk a little bit. BCA is always there, and you always see them around. What do you think they're looking at? What do you think are some priorities here? Because, you know, there's always something out there. you know, maybe it's the gas tax or some kind of economic incentive package or something like that. Is there anything that you think we're gonna see where they are or what their priorities are out of this event?
I don't think legislatively, no. I mean, I don't think you're going to – I think that's why people come to this meeting, is to talk about that and to push for whatever they're wanting. In fact, I think the last 2 days they've been having committee meetings down there. That's not a public thing, to, you know, discuss legislative priorities and things like that. So I don't think that you're going to see some kind of legislative agenda coming out. But at the same time, I mean, I think BCA is just like every other organization, anticipating the next administration, right? And trying to figure out what that's going to look like and fitting into, you know, how that's going to work. I think most members of the legislature are kind of thinking the same thing. So no, I don't think it's a big legislative agenda coming out of this.
And sometimes it's not about what they are promoting or trying to. A lot of times you hear coming out of this, it's things they don't want to happen, right? Things that they're pushing the legislature away from or wanting to stop. And there's some issues out there that I suppose, and maybe it's not every member of BCA, just maybe some of the individual members, things that they don't want to see happen. You know, that sometimes is talked about at these things.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember something like that. But
well, it's like I guess some of the stuff they want, like Blue Cross Blue Shield, or to cover, or you know, the insurance. When Alpha was making their push, and like I said, they didn't have unanimity across the board. But it certainly came up, right?
Well, would that have been last year?
Yeah. Alpha got its health insurance package that they were trying to get, and they finally got it done. You know, you hear these guys, and I don't know, you're more plugged into that world than I am, but a lot of times they don't want a legislature coming in and imposing mandates. And this was like a big, big discussion the last couple of years.
Oh, well, yeah. So, I mean, not specific to the conference, like I don't remember that coming up at the conference, but yeah, BCA opposed the, Alpha health insurance or health plan. You can't call it an insurance, legislation. I guess that was 2 years ago. And then I guess the same year opposed the PBM thing.
Right. Right.
What the pharmacists were pushing, but again, I don't remember that being a big part of the conference. To me, the conference is not really agenda oriented, at least not in recent years. I mean, if you go back to, you know, the 2010s, and you know that was a different kind of BCA when Billy Canary was in charge, and they were really, especially on the education front, pushing education reforms and things like that. I don't think it's the same kind of conference. It's really just, to me, I mean, I don't attend every session because we're trying to tape a show. You know, maybe get Helena on or something to talk about all of that. But it is the biggest gathering of state leaders that we really have. So that's why I'm going, and that's why we're taping this show.
You think those guys are kind of happy the way the election's going as expected, and they had their endorsed candidates, but is that something, you know, I mean, if they're not talking about policy, are they talking about politics?
Do I think BCA is happy?
Yeah, do you think they're kind of pleased with the direction of this election cycle?
Jeff, I've got no idea, man.
I'm just trying to, I guess, a table setter for this conference, and if there's anything that we need to be watching for. But we can move on, Todd, if you'd like. Because what should we be on the radar? What should we be looking for? Any headlines coming out of the BCA conference?
Again, so we got federal panel. That's supposed to be in the entire delegation. Looking forward to that. We're going to be covering that. There's a regulatory panel today. Looking forward to, you know, that's a big issue, thinking about data centers and all that kind of stuff. That's something to be looking forward to. And that Paul Feinbaum thing on recruiting. So those are three things that I'm hoping to report out. And sure, there'll be a lot of politics discussed. I'm hoping to talk some politics. I'm kind of still curious if people remember or are aware that there's an election in 4 days, you know?
Well, that was my next question, the election in 4 days. I guess I expect a low turnout event. It doesn't seem – I mean, there's a little noise in AL2, but it seems like everything is – we kind of know how this is going to go.
I think so. I mean, so I'm in AL2, and so I get a lot of the mail and a lot of the, you know, advertisements and everything. But, you know, I ran into Rhett Marks the other day, and he's worried just about turnout. I think they've run a good campaign and everything, but, you know, every time he runs into somebody, it's like, you got to remind them, hey, go vote, because we're just not used to voting on a random Tuesday in August, you know? And so that's going to be interesting. When you shrink that voting universe, anything can happen, right? The margins become very slim. And so it's going to be interesting. I think you're right. I think we are, you know, I think we can predict what's going to happen. But, man, when the voting universe gets that small, who knows?
Does this discussion about Democrats voting in this primary, could it matter? And the only reason, I think it might, like you said, it's a low turnout event. Every vote counts. I don't know how much sway Tabitha Eisner has, but she sounds like, you know, she's at least out there posting on social media. She was on your show a few weeks ago. Could there be any surprises here?
Well, I read that as a almost like a troll, like, come on, like let's get the Republican Party to react. Right. Hey, go vote.
Right, yeah.
And it was effective, by the way. I mean, yeah, this is why we need to close primaries, and we don't got to get into that. But, yes, I think Democrats will absolutely vote. Like, I mean, think about just any race for governor or, you know, senator or whatever in Alabama in the last 20 years. I mean, it hasn't really mattered who Democrats nominate. And so if you want your vote to count, why wouldn't you go participate in the Republican primary? Now, I can see it a couple of different ways. Like, do you vote for the person that you like the most and that you want, that is, you know, you would most like to see elected, or do you vote for the person that might be easier for Democrats to defeat? You know, I could see it kind of working either way. Even so, I don't think it's on a mass scale, and I don't think it's anything that would actually, you know, flip an election.
Yeah, I guess the one thing, I don't expect this to happen like on May 19th. Will there be a bunch of Democrats show up to vote? Because I guess Jamari Figures is locked in his primary, and yeah. This is what, and the rules don't pertain to like the runoff. Like, if you voted in Republican or Democrat primary, you had to vote in that runoff. It's wide open here. And the other thing is that it's kind of interesting about this. You don't have to have a majority. You can win with a plurality.
Yeah, this is a unique election. No runoffs. But look, this is what the legislature voted for. There's no runoffs. It is its own separate election. So you're right about the crossover rule. That only applies, you know, like if the election was actually in May, then that would have applied. It doesn't here. This is a whole new election, whole new district. So yeah, we've never done this before. With two districts that nobody's ever, we've never had elections in these specific districts before. And so this is unique. We'll get through it. And Jeff, you know, I'm hearing there could even be another redistricting coming the next time. So this might be the only time these districts are ever voted in. But yeah, both districts, AL1 and AL2, Democrats are locked in. So we will have Republican nominees, hopefully, not too late on Tuesday.
Well, and you know, this we'll wrap it up on this. I guess, do you think we'll do redistricting again for this next cycle, or do you think they'll wait till 2030?
It's possible. I mean, I don't know anybody that wants the headache back. But you know, remember how that special session kind of ended? There were plenty of Republicans who were dissatisfied with only picking up one seat and not going, you know, whole hog to get all seven. And so there, I think there's still plenty of that. So who knows? I think there's a lot of desire on that end from some Republicans. Whether or not, I mean, what we do know is redistricting is painful. It is a slog. You've been through it in the legislature. I've been through multiple. So you got to be willing to go through that pain, and especially understanding that 2030 is coming, right? It's not that long away. So we'll see. It's possible.
Todd, folks want to find Alabama Daily News. They want to know what's coming up on Capital Journal. Tell them, give them the rundown.
Absolutely. Just go to aldailynews.com. You can sign up for the newsletter there. And yes, Capital Journal, that airs tonight. I'm not hosting. My colleague Jeff is. Tonight, 7:30 on APT, and we'll have our show from BCA next week. You can see that on online.
Todd Stacey, ladies and gentlemen. Todd, thanks again.
All right, Jeff, be good.
All right, let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Fuller Show on FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Text line 251-343-0106. You need to be touching the show. Still to come, Jerry Carl in the 10 o'clock hour. And in 11 o'clock hour, Chris Elliott, our returning champion. Yeah, that was a brutal. I guess you just don't talk about BCA and what to expect. Let's see here. Brandon, since we're on sports ball, how would you grade Golish's first spring? Seems to be taking the right steps to make this team play hard. Poor damn Eagle, at least he isn't talking about golf. Yeah, I have no idea what to expect, and we got to transition into that soon. There's a lot of unknowns here, and I, as an Auburn fan, I've learned not to ever get my hopes up. Even the years, like, guys, like, the last, like, 30, 40 years of Auburn football, kind of watching it, anytime you get your hopes up, anytime you're, like, a preseason favorite, it doesn't play out. It has to be one of those years that kind of creep up on you, like, 93 or 04, we were thought to be good, we ran the table, but it just wasn't meant to be. And in 2010, no one expected the Cam Newton phenomenon. And what? We had 13. That kind of snuck up on everybody as well. See. So I don't know what to expect. We could run the table for all I know. College football is a weird place when a team like Indiana wins it all. That no one probably had on their bingo card. Brandon, if I remember correctly, the final nail in the coffin for Shelby County Schools was several cities were wanting the next high school to be built in their city. Well, Helena got the new school, and Alabaster Pelham were upset and left. The Alabaster was leaving soon anyway, but Pelham got caught up in it. I can see this situation happening in Baldwin County. They're going to have to build a new high school in Baldwin County for South Baldwin County, I think. Especially, I was telling somebody about this the other day. If Fairhope breaks away, what about Magnolia Springs and Bardwell and Point Clear, Houstonville, like, they're not going to go, certainly not going to expect them to go long-term all the way to fully high. So we're watching. 251-343-0106. You get the rest of your text on the other side. Stick around. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.